It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Oh, hello, everyone. You know, lots of good talk show hosts, they make a living on pointing to the corruption of government and those in power, which is very good. We need to know these things. But I make a living, barely make a living, very difficult, by pointing the fingers of you who, for some mysterious reason, elect them. How is that possible? How is it possible for us to vote away our constitution the way the German people did to Nazis? And it's not uncommon. It's old hat as far as going back thousands of years. What civilization has survived? They're all buried under the ground, under the sand. There's a few monuments, a few buildings, you know, standing. It only took just a little over 200 years to lose ours, but there's still hope. But you can't put hope in politicians. You see, we've lost our freedom because for very simple reasons I'm going to explain. And if I can explain this to you, it will really hurt you. It feels very, very painful. But I bear with you to recognize this as tough love and that you need a good spanking. But the callers come first, so if I have a long line of calls, I won't keep the waiting by launching into one of my tirades about what you've done to deserve the government I don't deserve. It's true. What you have done, most of you, not all of you, but most of you have done because your lack of morals or your gullibility or a lack of faith or inability to see reality for what it is, which is a kind of a sin in itself, an evidence of sin. The kind of people you associate you with, you think you're friends, turn out to be your enemy. Where's your perception? Well, you find that you've put that aside because those kind of people get you to put your perception aside because they give you what you hope for most, what you want most from people, is acceptance. You want to be recognized as somebody. And so, in exchange for that fake love, you elect them, you marry them. So we'll discuss all these things later on, but there's a dynamic involved. And I want to discuss dynamic number one, man-woman relationships. Destroy the family and you own the women and the children, and eventually you get the men. And so, if you'll just wait a few minutes and take my number down, 866-8883, and ask me, well, maybe I'll explain it so simply and so to the point, there may not be a reason to ask questions, just a continuous aha, I see, or continuous tirade against your radio. They're wanting to smash the radio, that's the closest you can get to me. You can get closer if you want. But just that's a metaphor of saying that a certain number of people in the world are lovers of evil. That's right. They love evil. But to them, evil looks good. Well, I'll give you an example. A dope addict really worships, supports, elects the dope pusher. But that dope pusher is just a scullery maid at the bottom of the heap. There's a whole system of these things. Bureaucrats, you call them bureaucrats in an underworld government. Eventually, you become so demoralized by all of the above, you know, add to that a whole list of other things, alcohol, drugs, gambling, and all the rest of it, sexual perversion, and, you know, that sort of thing. Add to that, then that all your perceptions have disappeared. You're too busy enjoying your life and excusing it with strange reasons which are very similar to every other person who ever does the same thing on earth and died from it. and lost his freedom through it. So I'm going to take number one, uno numero. Is that the way I say it? Is anybody there that can correct? Say it again.
Numero uno. Yep, numero uno.
Numero uno, right? Did I say it right? Oh, 30 seconds. They didn't actually tell me about 30 seconds. I'm trying to get numero uno. Number one coming up. In plain English, it's about how to have sex with a woman.
There's a
how-to. The how-to. Wow, you didn't think you knew. You thought you knew all about it, didn't you? No, you don't.
I thought I did.
No, I know, you thought you did, but you just wait and see now, won't you?
Yep.
It's time for Advice Line.
Open your eyes. How are you?
Well, I don't know what it was, but I also that was just, what did you do?
I help you experience God. I help you experience God.
You're listening to Advice Line. Call 1-800-866-8883. Here's Roy.
Well, I will take that subject up in just a moment, but the last thing I said on the promo announcing me with my own voice, I helped you to experience God. That's what you need to restore your soul. I know you heard a lot of preachers say that, but they're very ineffective. Sorry, look, they mean well. My criticism goes to the left and to the right, to the intellectuals of the high priests of religion and the high priests of corruption called politics, and or the priests and high priests, all the various orders, and their lackeys. You're not going to find God there. I brought up my kids, you know, to discover God for themselves. They have to want to find that. Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened. Where is the door? It's not an external world, is it? It's in, the door is within us. He said, come, I wait at the door. What does he mean by he waits at the door? There's a place you enter. There's a door, I suppose. But it's not, it's within you, but it's hard to find. And especially with those who misguide you in the name of guiding you. So, let me talk about sex in a way you've never heard it spoken about in church, or what you've never heard it spoken about in your psychiatrist's office. Because a lot of you have been molested or been hurt some way through those experiences. There's not a soul on earth, I don't think, that hasn't been debilitated, degraded somehow, enjoying it all the way down, of course, through sex. And why would anyone enjoy being debilitated and degraded? And there's a bonding. Everybody thinks in terms, I'm sure everybody in their mind, if they don't think it in verbally, it is something that really happens. A bonding occurs, should be for life. Bonding occurs for life. But if the bonding is misguided, if bonding has got a selfish twist to it, which nobody thinks they do, actually. Actually, they think they're in love when they are falling from what love is all about. So every time you fall, that's why they use the word falling in love. I used to say to myself, well, if love is so good, what's the falling about? I fell for that person. It is so sort of unconscious. Is that what you call a colloquialism, Brian? I'm not getting so old as I thought I was. Way.
Okay.
I just want everybody to know that Moses was, I'm like Moses, 82. And he said that he died at the very end of the story in, is it Deuteronomy? And his, what was it, how did they say it? His vital force was not abated.
Ah.
And that's what it meant.
I'm sure the audience appreciates to know that.
I'm sure they are. But the point is, you've got to be a vital human being all your life, especially men. Men, women can't be because of their, you know, makeup. But men should be. And the reason why you take Viagra is because you're worn out. You're afraid of sex. You are literally terrified. So you're actually burned out from too much sex. And when it becomes addictive, well, food, you can die from food too, can't you? Diabetes, one third of all the population in another 5 years is going to be dying from the sicknesses of diabetes. But then what does that mean? It means loss of limbs, heart failure, heart disease, emotional illnesses, kidney failure, dialysis, I don't know, just about a host of other things. So it's just about the mass of everything. Attitude, wrong eat reason to eat, it comes from wrong living. And usually the first blush of it appears. I mean, you may be carefree. Let's say you come from a carefree home, and then you meet a beautiful girl. Gentlemen, I'm speaking to you. And for some reason, you're really caught up with her right away, and you want to give her everything. You want to give her an engagement ring. You're in a hurry to get married. You know what hurry means? It means to hurry to complete yourself to this lady, to experience her to such a degree that you feel like a whole person, a more complete person. So the more you have sex with her, the more you complete you become. But it doesn't work that way, does it? How many people understand what I just said? Does anybody want me to go on? Does anybody want me to really finish what I really have to say? Here's the number, just in case. You could stop me and say, shut up in the middle. I can't stand you anymore. But I'm not going to stop anyway. But 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. And now pay attention. Now, let me start from a different tack before I give you the answer. I'm going to answer the question, but I'm going to start with the devil. And the devil, who now you think this is a preacher, there is such a thing as evil. And it's in bond, it's ensconced in the mind of those who open their doors to it. Intellectuals. You'll find that intellectuals, a person who is ambitious to get ahead, barks up the tree of knowledge. And he puts his whole life into learning something. Learning, 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 thinking that the more he learns, the more he is, or she is. The more somebody we will be. The more we will be recognized and loved, and the more you can be above everyone and everyone beneath you. It's a power thing. And when learning is that way, effortful and with ambition, there's something about the knowledge of good and evil that tells us, warns us about it. If you want to look at your universities and find out where all the conspirators are, there you'll find them in the universities. I'm right about that. In other words, something evil happens to a mind that sits unholy on the throne of the unholy in the place of the holy. In other words, something happens to you when you give yourself to knowledge. When you immerse yourself into it, something comes up with it and something goes out of you. Something in you goes towards the teacher and the system, and you become part of the system, and pretty soon you're a teacher doing unto others as was done unto you. Especially, and that's true of good knowledge. Now let's go to good knowledge. That's the same truth applies to being a preacher. If you go to a seminary school and you want to serve God, but a lot of it is simply because deep down inside there are other motives that you don't see. You do want to be a good person. You see all the evil around you. Maybe you have really sick parents and you made up your mind you're not going to be like them. You're going to become a preacher. You're going to be a teacher, and you're going to really help people. And it becomes an ambition. It's not your calling. not your calling at all. In this way, you're not your calling. Not your calling to be a Jesus or a disciple. Not your calling, but you want to be one because you want to be to love so you could be loved because you never had love. So you give yourself to the problem of learning, the ambition of learning, of making books there is no end, says Solomon. You know, it's just nothing else about weariness of the flesh. It's dry and there's a weariness of the flesh. But I want to say something about these two. They both lead to damnation. The knowledge of good, and so that you become a preacher. And so therefore, you preach unto others as was preached unto you. No intuition. No development of soul and character. Just people go to church and you talk at them and they feel good every Sunday. And on Monday they're just as bad as they were before. And they come to Sunday to get their fix. And many people feel guilty if they don't go to church. Like the alcoholic will feel guilty if he misses a drink. Conscience catches up with see. So, just for openness, and I'm coming to the sex thing in a minute. I'm going in a roundabout way, you must admit, but it's important. Because I'm talking about religion that isn't. That's not much different, but worse than. In other words, the preacher who does not understand human nature, having experienced salvation, him or herself. I mean, salvation is instantaneous. It is like, it doesn't mean to say that you're okay for the rest of your life. It's the beginning of your trial and tribulation. There's two reasons why you suffer. You suffer because you deserve it. Hopefully that wakes you up. Then when you wake up, you're freed from the suffering, freeing from the pain of your sins, the burden, if you like. That's lifted, and you're cleansed. And then you see your sins, and you have a little cry, and it's all gone, catharsis. And then you could become a new person. But this new person now is a warrior for God and has to be tested. And sorely you will be. And you have to be tested by those who will test you who don't like where you're coming from. And so you don't get much love from many people. For the majority of the people are misled and misguided and either all the way evil all the way through or just like you were before you became saved. So there's a possibility of saving them if you could just hold it light up and not hold verse and chapter up, which is dead. Which will be their death if they follow you and think they're going to heaven. Now, here's the point I need to make up to you. This is very important. Of the two, the knowledge of good, so let's call it Christianity. That is the highest and most noble, and I'm Jewish, and I say, if you call me a Christian, I shall deem that the highest honor. Is that clear? But so while I'm knocking you people out there, if you call me a Christian, from what I'm saying, and how I live, or whatever judgment you use to decide that, I will be honored, sir, ladies. Thank you. However, let me continue. Because truth has to hit both sides. The people who think they're right, you know, the apparently right, righteous, and the obviously wrong. Those are the only two kinds of people, basically. And those are people in the middle struggling. Where's the truth that will set me free? Those are a small group. That's my group. So here it is. The people on the political side, which believe in their savior, it's always human. And the people believe in knowledge, and knowledge leads to power. But so does religion, if it's political. If you have a system of things like the Catholic Church, or any kind of church, you have leaders and followers, and those who aspire to be leaders. You know, when the Pope dies, someone really hopes to step up. It is it's a political system, disguised as religious system. But it says different things, and it says the good things. But the good people can't hear it, because it comes from people who belong to a system to which they belong. And for the reason why they belong is because they believe the right thing because they're taught. They are programmed, remote control people. God wants volunteers and doesn't want conscripts. He doesn't want brainwashed or indoctrinated Christians. He wants believers who really believe with their heart. And not with just their intellect, emotionally caught up with some variation of Jesus' teachings. So there's 10,000 different cults out there in churches. I mean, you can't chop him up into 10,000 different ways of believing him. It doesn't make any sense. So you need to stand back from that. But Jesus didn't leave any writing, because he understood the knowledge of good and evil, that if he wrote some stuff, they'd make religions out of him, which they did anyway. But the disciples wrote those letters, and it became gospel. But now, here's the point. And I do take my time to come to it. Then I come to the sex part. Then I take my calls. If you measure the two, the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil, in present day, you have 87% of Americans Christians, but they're no match against the smaller percentage of really, really wicked political people, the powers in the university that have no religion, religionless, godless, soulless, intellectuals. So when one becomes an intellectual, when one aspires to knowledge, one is invaded, one yields to the rush of knowledge, the rush of knowing. And the more you know, the more you are, and the more you're respected, more idealized, more you become a icon for others to follow, or role model, if you like, for other aspiring geniuses. That power is not hypocritical. That power is direct and very, very powerful evil, because people will subscribe to that. Now, the other one, which is the knowledge of good, is holding Jesus up as a pansy. You know, just like a nice boy that wants to love everybody and having a mama. And that's a very nice ideal, to want peace with the world, and to want to be kind and loving to everybody. But it also is bereft of spirit, but lacks the motivation to stand up and fight anybody. These days especially. So the country is divided between two kinds of brainwashed people. People who love God, well, they want to love him, but they have only loved and sort of like a football star image, like the preacher. They love the preacher who loves God, and therefore they love the man. The preacher gets in the way. And they're busy studying the words and acting it out on the stage. There's no spirit. So that's why a small number of radicals, the people, the 87% of Americans who are Christians, are no match for the horror that is now about to befall them. Because these people are dedicated evil, while the Christians are really trying to be good, but lack the spirit of good to fight these people, to recognize them long before they take power. Who understands that? Now, one of the most important aspects of a good Christian marriage, or any kind of marriage for that matter, but Christian marriages and Jewish marriage, well, I'm not so sure about Jewish marriage because I come from a whole line of them, but Christian marriage at least has the ideal ensconced in words, if it isn't ensconced in fact, because this, what I'm about to say, will disconcert you quite a bit. And that is, the story goes, because Adam ate of the fruit of knowledge of good of evil, that is it, so the only choice you have is the apparently good and the obviously bad. So the only two choices you have is to be a fake Christian or a rebel against it and try some other religion, which is not near as good. And no one of them comes anywhere close to it in reality, because it is the key to what reality is all about. This is the magic of a Jesus. There's a Jewish man telling you this. Still Jewish, but still. I like him as rabbi better than anybody I know, and I never met him personally, but inside me I know him. So So it says, social law, because of you've done this thing, dost thou out and dost thou return, and you shall eat of, you know, the sweat of your brow, you shall earn your bread. That's the second commandment ever given to a person. The sweat of your brow, it's called work therapy. Be surprised how that works. If your life is too easy, then you're in trouble. City dwellers are very naive, easily manipulated. They don't have the feet in the earth, the hands in the earth, and the head in the sky like country people do. Not that country people are always that perfect, but they're better off. So that's the second commandment. There's the other one, but then there's a prediction. So shall you leave your mother and father and be joined to the woman, and she'll become one flesh, but nevertheless you shall rule over her. Whoa! What a caveat that is. Now, that's punishment. Now we come back full circle to man-woman relationship. How should we have sex? Well, you wait. You become engaged. You do not take her before time. And even in marriage, you've got to be careful that your ego is not in love with this woman, idealizing her and putting on a pedestal. You see, hoping, you just can't wait to get into bed. You know, because most men are like that. Thinking that you're going to complete yourself according to what the Bible says, and so shall you leave your mother and father and become joined. But that's to the woman. That's punishment. The correct way is the reverse of that. The woman should give herself to the man, but not for the purpose of controlling him. There is another caveat. Like the mother did to your father, that's why your father's no damn good. He made that mistake, and your mother emerged as the matriarch, when there should be no matriarch but patriarch. However, this is a delicate issue. A man must be so noble that if a woman tempts him, a beautiful woman tempts him, and he does not yield to the sexual impulse, even though it may sort of teeter-totter on it, indulging it. He does this because he loves his God more, because he knows he's not just a dog copulating in an alley, because that's all that will make you if you just hop into bed with the nearest warm body. Or if you're in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, it means there's something in it for you. And there's a selfish motive, and you'll be sorry the day you were born. And actually, the very first time you ever have sex is the most important time in your life. The other most important time in your life is the day you die. How do you die? You begin to die that first day you have sex in the wrong way. And what you do is bond yourself to the woman who needs salvation from that which spoke to the first woman. Do what thou wilt with him, see, so to speak. In other words, here, you know, God lies. She tries it and she finds she didn't die right away. Well, God just never said you die right away. You die from him, and then you wither, and then you become sort of like an animal, but trailing a conscience. And through the generations, it's been that way. Man born of woman, comes from woman, goes back to woman. He forgets that there's two origins, one that human race fell from, and one he came from. So we have to find where within ourselves the human race came from, and it was within Adam's mind and heart. That's where it is, and that's where you'll find it. And then the woman who sees you this way will give herself to you in a right way, and you will live happily ever after. All right. Ta-da! I'll be right back. I'm Roy Masters. Call the office, and let's hear from you. A donation, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take the next caller. And then there's another caller, Kathy, but it's on the subject about women. So, Kathy, if you'll hold for a minute, and I'm watching you, a new caller suffering from loneliness. I will take you, but it's the subject's on. Your caller will probably be on the subject, too. But I will take the call from Las Vegas about, you know, how shall he know a woman is right for him. Now, meanwhile, I want to know, you know, how many people are right for me. But you see how I tackle problems here in a way that no one else discusses. I'm a free agent. I don't have any agency that pays me. I have to find the money. We're a church organization, but I only want you to belong to your creator, not to me. So if you want to think of yourself as belonging to the foundation, that's nice. The way you can belong is if you want to, you can go on the web and log on and get the side of the web that will deliver you all the materials you need. So instead of watching stupid programs and stupid commercials, and there are still good programs, political ones, very good ones, that have soul in them, like Glenn Beck and others. And that's good. But then you might want to understand the purity and the deeper aspect of what he's talking about, for the reason for which we are losing our country. And when we're losing our country for the likes of you, or if you have problems, and you shouldn't have any. You shouldn't have a problem you cannot deal with. I haven't got a problem I don't know how to deal with. I don't have one. And I never had a problem I couldn't deal with. And it doesn't have to be good. I can still deal with it. And it passes. And I'm a better person for it. And I've learned that a long time ago. And it started with, not a right relationship with marriage. And so that's how I've learned these things. So, but now, how can I help you? Well, I know how to reverse those things. That doesn't mean to say that once a woman has a wrong relationship with you, she can never love you properly, ever. She may stay with you forever. That's basically that's what it is. And no matter how much you try to make up for it, you can't. So it's important to just be very wise, because the laws of human spirit is a dynamic as pure as science, the purest form of science. And it is a science, but it's a science that doesn't come from books, and it's a language that's not spoken. My language to you is just to remind you of what you've kind of forgotten. And so the stirring of that aha is the magic, forget the words. Did you hear something you needed to hear? Any apologies you need to make to your wife or your woman? Need to back off for a while? Yes. Get my book, Understanding Sexuality and the Adam and Eve Syndrome. They will help you. And there's also something about sex and eat no evil, because food can be a substitute for sex, you see. So anyway, call my office and inquire about those books and also about other things. You can go to my website, fhu.com. and download a CD that will help you find grace. That's very simple. You should find it very quickly. I will guide you on this program to it with my every word. Please support my program with your tax-deductible donations. It's very sparse. Always has been. We just barely get by. Thank you.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, here we are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking my calls. We're going to go to John. The number is 800-877-3227. The program number you're listening to, if you would care to purchase it, is 5984. We're going to go to John now. Hello, John in Las Vegas.
Hello, how you doing, Roy?
Fine, thank you.
Great. I just wanted to ask you, it's a real serious question to me. I think it's very important. I come from a Ethiopian Orthodox faith.
Yes.
The Christian Orthodox faith. And I was wondering, should I stick to my, actually stick to my own kind? Or
What is your own kind?
Meaning my own people.
Your own people mean there's a sect. I belong to no sect, and I don't wish anyone to belong to my sect. I don't have a sect. I want you to belong directly to God, directly. No intercessor, no preacher. No, you don't. I don't need a preacher. Why should you? I don't need a set of rules. Okay. Moses didn't need a set of rules. Abraham didn't need a set of rules on paper. There was no set of rules. I don't know if he could read or write.
Well, the word of God.
No. Well, but the word of God is not a piece of paper.
Of course not. It's a spiritual.
Then what is the word? Then you have to delineate, define what the word of means. What this word means. What does it mean? What does the word mean?
It's the flesh of the Christ.
No. What does that mean? You can't eat his flesh. You can't eat his flesh. What are you talking about?
Of course.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I want to make it awkward for you. So you see that you need to get out of what you're into. You can't eat his flesh. You cannot drink his blood. Symbolically or any other way. It doesn't imply that. So now, what else can you do?
Not literally, Roy. I respect what you have to say.
No, but what does it mean? What does it mean spiritually? It means to imbibe his spirit.
Yes.
To absorb him.
Yes.
To have him come into you.
Yes, it does. You're saying the church, no matter what church it is,
it gets in the way.
In the second church, it founded in Christianity, being one of the most deepest roots in Ethiopia when it comes to Christianity,
First of all, I think we need a church, and it doesn't have to be a building. But first of all, you have to be the church before you can establish one. In other words, know ye not that you are the church, you're the temple of the living God, and the Spirit dwelleth within? And God does not live in a house made by hands. Right?
Yes.
Now, how clear can that be? And how clear can it be when it says there will come a day when men shall put the laws of God, laws into men's heart, and into their minds he shall write them. And I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. What does that mean? Your preacher should be showing you this. Your preacher should be a shining example of that and not teach you anything. There's no written word that you have to swallow. It doesn't mean to say you can't read it. I said you must not study it and put it indelibly imprinted in your mind. You must not do that. You must not do that even for an exam. In school.
That's kind of hard, Roy. They go hand in hand.
Your way is hard. My way is easy. You got it backwards.
What are you talking about? Because
I'm talking about you be still and know I am God. Whatever that means, that's your mystery. What does it mean to be still? There's thousands of different reasons, like stop your brain from working, think of a mantra, om, there's no place I can do om. I mean, there's all kinds of mutterings and meditations and prayer beads and all. No, what does it mean to be still so you can realize, not know intellectually, to become intimate with. Adam knew his wife. There's a nice way of saying Adam became intimate with his wife. So, therefore, know is meant to mean to become intimate with, to experience God. So now, a person who's a preacher does not have to go to school. The worst kind of preacher is the one that goes to school. The best one who is intuitive, that you can recognize where he's coming from, and he's easily guide you. Jesus guided people to the truth in minutes. And in minutes, he understood. In minutes, they understood. He broke the conditioning of centuries.
Well, yeah, you need no man teaching you for the Spirit of God.
That's right.
I understand that, Roy, and I totally understand that. Totally.
You do.
Understand.
You do. Then if you understand it, you don't need to argue with me then.
No, I don't want to argue with you at all, Roy.
Well, the argument is over because I answer you that you don't need... No, the answer is... The answer
is a tradition. That's all I'm talking about.
A tradition. I don't follow any tradition.
Hmm.
I will not have a tradition. I will.
Wait
a minute. I don't care about some people. Put him down. Just shut up for a minute. You called me. I didn't call you. Now shut up and listen. Okay? You're not coming to preach to me. Now, I'm not preaching to you. You're asking me for my opinion. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm giving facts. Now, he says, you call me a no man teacher. You have no teacher. You don't call any man father, but in Catholic religion, you call everyone father. What's the matter with you people? Call no man teacher. So where do you go if there's no teacher? The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus says, as he talked to the lady on the well. He told her about the six husbands she had, and she couldn't figure it out. So they had a conversation, and he introduced his God. He said, well, our God does not dwell in this mountain, or this synagogue, or this church. He doesn't dwell there. He lives in human beings in spirit and truth. And indeed, God is looking for those who worship him that way. So, what am I saying? Just like the devil can come into you when you go that way, and you don't have to be taught how to be wicked. It kind of springs up naturally in you, or unnaturally, naturally. So the spirit of good will come into you by letting go of your things you've tucked yourself into. You've tucked yourself into a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. It doesn't make any difference because religions divide people. And Jesus knew it. He never left a word, but he left a spirit. And it's up to a good preacher, an apostle, to bring that to you by the kind of person he is. That's all. And so there's nothing for you to belong to. Either belong to my church or anyone else's church. But belong to him, to experience God. Now do I answer your question. But that's enough. That's enough already. Because you've got nothing to say. I've answered your question. Now, you haven't asked, how do I get there? Call again. Okay. Now, here I am again, happy as can be. We're going to take another caller. The new caller. Hello, new caller from Illinois. What can I do for you? Kathy.
Hi, Roy Masters.
Yes.
You can call me Nina by my middle name because I know some people will be listening and I'm a little embarrassed to talk about it.
Well, you don't need to talk about anything that's embarrassing. You just need to tell me what's your symptoms.
I am separated a second time from my husband, and
yes.
We were having a really hard time when we got together. He does bully me quite a bit. And
well, why would you stay with him?
Well, the second time that I got separated, he's been gone through a lot of surgeries and all that. We have no children, and it seems like there's no one to take care of him, and I ended up still every so often to take care of him.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question.
And I'm
on the screen, it says you're suffering from loneliness, fear, and
yes,
harming yourself.
I am very lonely. I don't have any children. And all my life I was helping the members of my family, and now everyone is on their own. Nobody seemed to come around and talk or anything like that.
I know what your problem is now. Now, I want you to listen, because you've told me everything you need to know. You come under a certain category of person. You're a people pleaser. Your whole life is devoted to seeking
right.
approval, seeking approval from others, and you, the harder you work, the more you give of yourself, the more
right.
you enslave yourself to the duty of, but the miserable duty, because it's miserable because you always fail to help people. You're always trying to save people as a roundabout way of saving yourself. And
yeah.
and all you do is cause people to become more and more selfish and less appreciative and reject you because you're a clinger. You cling to the outcome. I do all this for him, and this is how he treats me. The end result is, in this cycle, is called resentment or anger. You are full of anger, not full of love. Your devotion to others is a form of slavery to which you have committed yourself because of your own ego. You think that you can save yourself and love everybody. You think you have love to start with. No one has love to start with. Eventually we realize it, and this is your way of realizing you have no love. You have no love to give. What you are doing is enslaving yourself for the love of others. That love of others will put you on a pedestal like you were a god. But they're not going to do that. They're going to use you. The more you give
yes,
yourself, the more
did.
You spoil them rotten. And then you blame them. You can't blame them for the fact that you spoiled them rotten. You have made them rotten.
We came
you're
from
part of it. I know, but you're still, but you're dysfunctional. I understand that. You came from a dysfunctional family, and you're dysfunctional.
I was told to take care of everybody.
I know, but the point is, you don't have to, and you don't have to do what you're taught. What happened was that you're a good person. You really are a decent person. I get that. I give you credit for that. However, you're misguided, decent person. You're misguided. Your idea of goodness is twisted. It happens with every human being on earth that is a good person. You come into the world, you're a good person, and everybody, you start to take responsibility and you start to resent it. Everybody shoves responsibility on you and you resent it. And you resent it. And nobody else is taking responsibility, only you. And you resent nobody doing it, only you. And pretty soon you resent it and you feel guilty not to. And you're driven out of guilt. You're driven out of guilt. Because you're angry at people, and the sense of guilt can only be relieved by being enslaved to a person or to people, in which case you become more guilty, because you're serving the wrong gods. Keep her on for a few minutes. There's a good caller, nice lady. I think we can help her. All right, how about me helping you by go to the website and downloading the CD, Be Still and Know. Or call my office, 800-866-8883. Oh, yeah, that's right, 800-877-3227. That's the wrong number. 800-877-3227. We'll be right back. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles. What do I do? How is it that I can sort of flush up some more money so I can stay on the air, so it could be more regular? Some days it's like famine and some days feast, but it's not. I need $10,000 a day. I've got 15 employees, including myself. I'm an employee. And even though I founded the foundation 50 years ago, I don't own any of the buildings or the money of it. I just get a salary, a lousy one, you know, a little bit more than my employees, but not a whole lot. And I think the policeman on the street gets more than me. And so what do? Why is it that a person like myself, who helps people, I really help people, and not everyone is appreciative? You know, they get a grasp of the things I'm saying, and then they say to themselves, I can take it from here, and you can't. You'll never be able to take it from here. You'll always be either free from evil to do good, but then you don't have a free will anymore. You never did, actually. There's no such thing as a free will. Free from right to do wrong, or free from wrong to do right. It's always to it. I'd be happy for to argue with you there. The other gentleman was just getting in the way of me talking. He asked me a question, that's why I had to drown him out. I do that with people who just want to outshout me. If there's any liberals on, come on the line or I have to talk to them, I just tell them to shut up. It makes sense, otherwise don't bother me. And that's it. So that's how I talk to people when they're that way. But I get to say something anyway. I get to say, and I got to say something, whether he heard it or not. People like that just testing me anyway. What religion should you belong to? None. Should you be religious, spiritual? Yes. Should you know, even heathens, Jesus said, not Jesus, but what did Paul, I think it was Paul who says that heathens, they know right from wrong, and many of them do good, and therefore they will be blessed even though they're not under the law, more so, because they do what's right in their hearts. And Jesus said, you know, I've come to save the sick and not the healthy. So that applies to everybody of all races and colors and creeds. That's what I've come to do. All right. Support the foundation with your tax-deductible donations. Otherwise, I can't stay on the air. Thank you.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So, Kathy in Illinois, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Now, what is all this business about? You're suffering from loneliness and fear of harming yourself. Now, you didn't say that to me. My producer got that out of you.
Yeah.
You should have said that. You should have said that to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I sometimes wonder that I like to... It's really hard to say. I don't want to live anymore. I like want to jump out the window or something.
I understand that. But how is it such a good person is so frustrated about being good that you want to jump out the window? Have you ever questioned your brand of goodness, your brand of love, your brand of devotion? Have you ever thought that it might be a form of slavery and that you're really being good to the wrong people?
My whole family. I have no one.
I got rid of my whole family 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I just say goodbye. Nice knowing you. Now, my family was my brother. My mother and father were dead. I don't count them because they were good people. My brother's no damn good. He isn't. And my whole family, all dead. And they were no damn good either. Just rich, middle class nothings. I don't mean that in a cynical way. There just were nothing there. So I went to make my fortune and find a life, and I wandered around the world a little bit. And here I am. I've discovered a lot. And I've discovered what I need to teach you, show you.
That can I ask you a question?
Yeah, if it's something to do with, you know, that will help you.
Yes. I have no children. I'm always alone. And it seems like I always have the fear if I don't have my family to talk to or someone, I won't have nobody in my life.
Well, listen, how old are you?
I am in my 60s, early 60s.
Well, you've got 40 years to go if you're a good girl. And you have to stop trying to help people. That's number one. Because you're damning yourself by your way of helping people.
Right.
You do see that, don't you? Because the trouble is you think you're a good person. Now you are, in some way, in a mysterious way. I can see that you have a real potential to be a very noble human being.
But because you've been
traumatized, that idea of being good is twisted, and somehow darkness has got into you, and you don't understand it. You've been programmed away from your common sense so that you can't function from the word of God in your mind. That's not a word. It's just a kind of knowing. But now, because you are violated by being hurt as a child and had too much responsibility laid on you, you weren't the kind of person that says, damn everybody, I'm not going to be responsible for anybody at all. No, you began to be compulsively responsible. You began to resent being the one that always has to do things, and then you did it begrudgingly. But it looked on the surface that you were doing it out of love, and therefore people encouraged you. They applauded you, and you were living on that applause. But the trouble is the people that applauded you were using you. You were doing for them for what they should be doing for themselves. They weren't really appreciating you and becoming stronger. They were using you and becoming weaker on your services.
That's true.
Okay, so knock it off. And but the way you knock it off is to forgive, is to find a place of stillness. Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And put the phone in your left hand.
Okay.
Now, be aware of your eyelids.
Okay.
What do you see?
I see like sparkles or something.
Yeah, sparkles in the middle of your forehead.
Right.
Okay, no thought. No thought there. Just my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, be aware of your right hand tingling. Go to your first finger. Go to your finger. Feel your finger tingling?
Yes.
Okay, now the next finger tingling?
Yes.
Okay, now you practice that, and I won't say another word, and you call tomorrow, and your problem will be gone. All your anger will be gone. All the upsetness and all the unforgiveness of your family and all the people never appreciated, you see you brought it on yourself, you will realize it, and the anger will go away, and you won't be lonely anymore.
Okay.
Now you call me tomorrow, first thing, and just see that I'll be just right. Open your eyes quickly.
I did.
Look around you. How does things look? They look a little brighter, right?
Yes, a little more clear.
That's right. Now, you hold on till tomorrow. You could be the first person to call me tomorrow, and I'll continue with you, and you'll be okay.
Okay. And what time, Illinois time?
No, just call me like you did tonight, a little earlier. That's all. Right. Okay. I got to rush away. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
Goodbye to you, Kathy. We'll be right back. Now, that's how quick it is. Something happened to that woman that moment. I didn't take that very far. There was no time. But look, seconds. She'll be different tomorrow. I didn't say much. What did I do? I got you to experience God. It's that simple. If it's that simple, who needs a preacher? And if it's that simple, if you've got God, who needs a doctor? Not very often. Man, I'm a danger to the society. They want you dependent, don't they, on the church and the welfare system and the healthcare system. It would be nice if we could sort of reduce their expenses and increase your health and happiness. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit FHU.com. Are you overwhelmed by pressure and stress?
Already things are being resolved in my life. Fences are coming down. I'm mending fences that really broke the ice fly. I'm so grateful.
Are you ready to have your life become a success story?
I had gone through 15 years of therapy with a psychiatrist. It still didn't help. So I bought several of the CDs, and he had a lot of the answers that I didn't get with the doctor. It's been real helpful. I don't get as worked up about problems. I just stay calm. Different things will come up, and I'll just work it out.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still.